I want to share a message, a very simple one. I wrote it today because I thought, actually, I believe we need to do this. I want to share a message called Take Dominion Over Your Demons. Take Dominion Over Your Demons. And I want to just start with a story from the Old Testament. Old Testament stories are pictures or little glimpses into the spirit realm. So when you read them, you've got to see they are all pointing and trending towards the person of Jesus Christ, who he is and what he's done. Now look at this one here. And it says here in verse 8, these are the names of the mighty men David had. Right, don't you love that? Mighty men. Now we include women in that because there's neither male nor female in Christ. Mighty men. Now the interesting thing was they didn't start off as mighty men. The Bible describes them as everyone who is distressed and in debt and depressed. So that's not, when you see people distressed and debt and depressed, they don't look like mighty men. But these people had changed. They were transformed. And it said, and it gives a list of them. And there's one I want to just identify because you'll see why a little bit later. And it gives the names of all the men. So this is, when this is written down, these are almost the last words that David wrote. And he wrote out a list of those who stood with him during a season of rejection before he became the king. These are the men who were with him through the difficulties, the hardships, the rejection, the shame, the reproach. They stood with him and committed to him, and out of their commitment to him and their desire to see him made king, God raised them up and imparted to them faith and a warrior spirit. And it tells of this guy here, it says, after him in verse 11 was Shammah, the son of Agi the Hararite. And the Philistines gathered together in a troop, and there was a piece of ground full of lentils or barley, and everyone ran away. The people fled from the Philistines. But he stationed or positioned himself in the middle of the field. He defended it or delivered it. He killed the Philistines, and the Lord brought about a great victory. Now, when we read about David, David is in some ways, not all of his life, but there's many aspects of his life which prefigure Jesus Christ the King. And God raised David up to be a mighty warrior king, raised him up out of rejection, raised him to be a mighty warrior king, and put a spirit of might upon him. He was never defeated in any battle. And so it tells us that these men gathered to David to make him king. We are called and gathered to Jesus Christ, not to make him king, but to present his kingship, his reign, his dominion, his coming kingdom as a vision to transform people's lives, transform communities. So we may have come into the kingdom of God distressed, in debt, discouraged, disheartened, or whatever, but when we yield to Christ, when our lives come into alignment with him, when we become kingdom-oriented, then that spirit of might comes around you. God is wanting you to rise up and become a warrior. Religion will present Jesus as the lamb, present him as a baby in Mary's arms, present him on the cross as dead, present him as powerless. But he came the first time as a lamb to serve and lay his life down. He will return as a conquering king to reign over all the earth. All nations shall yield to him. The Bible is so full of this. You really do want to study it. It'll give you great optimism about the future. So you notice there that these guys all became men of valor. They learned how to fight. They learned how to stand up. And you notice here, this particular one, Shammah. Now his name literally means astonishment, horror, or ruin. And his father's name was, I shall increase. So clearly, in the period around his birth, the nation had gone into bondage to the Philistines under King Saul, and he must have experienced something really traumatic in his background that his mother would name him, or his father would name him by that name. Yeah. So in the Bible, the names often refer to the character of the person or the destiny of the person. Right. And often there'll be a change of name, meaning a change of character and destiny. So I always like to look up the meaning of the names. And I saw on this man, and this was what he was like. He was one of David's men that was distressed and in debt and down. But now he is honored. He's in the top three. He's number three out of 30 men that God names. And he calls these three the most valiant of them all. What happened to him? Something has shifted inside him because of his connection to David and his passion to see the kingdom of David come. Our lives can transform too when we connect in faith with Christ. Every person is involved in a spiritual warfare. There are no exceptions. Our warfare is not against people, although our conflicts often involve people, but we have, our war is against an invisible spiritual realm. It's a realm you can't see. It's a realm that's called darkness because you can't see. Everything in that realm is obscure and covered, and you don't always know what you're dealing with until the Holy Spirit starts to open your eyes and you begin to discern that it's not that there's all these things wrong with me, but actually I'm struggling in a spiritual warfare. And in war, you want to be on the winning side. In a war, you can't roll over and lie down. You can't have a holiday. You can't go AWOL, absent without leave. You can't abandon your post. All of that is treason because you're involved in a military campaign. And people don't like to talk about this, but you have to talk about it. You have to talk about it. So you notice this man arose and became a kingdom warrior, and the Bible highlights one of the things he did. And it said, the Philistines, demonically empowered idol worshippers, had come into the land to invade. And it says there was a field of lentils or barley. In the book of Chronicles, it says it's barley. For those of you who love the Bible, the feast of Passover, celebrating Christ's salvation and all he won for us, was also the barley harvest. So when it says a field and a field of barley, it's conveying to those who have hunger to look and see the prophetic implications that this is Christ has died on the cross to purchase for us freedom and salvation and deliverance for the world. What he did is he stood in the middle of the field and he refused to let what God had entrusted him be taken over and delivered into the hands of the enemy. Now, in other words, he stood his ground and withstood the enemy, and God raised him up. He became famous because he did that. In your life and my life, we need to understand what Christ has done for us and not roll over and let the enemy trample us underfoot with condemnation and guilt and shame and fear and rejection, defilement, depression, and all kinds of other things. You need to learn how to rise up into the authority Christ has given you and stand your ground wherever you are. There is an attack spiritually against marriage. Men need to, and against manhood, against womanhood. There is an attack on God's order. It's relentless. It's day by day. It's in the media, the education system, everywhere. You need to see what God says and what God has planned and what he's purchased at Calvary and hold your ground. Learn to stand up and get into divine alignment, as we'll see in a moment. So he stood his ground. Now here's the thing. It said he stood his ground, but God wrought a great victory. Notice this. All he had to do was stand and engage, and God came with him to give him the victory. That's how faith operates. We're not coming to try and overcome the enemy. We are needing to stand in what Christ did and hold it against the enemy to subdue what's come against our lives. You need to make a stand. And when we make a stand on the Word of God and in the Spirit, God brings about a victory for our lives. That's how it works. Okay, then. So let's start to look, and I'm going to try and bring it down to something really quite practical for you. All believers are delegated a measure of spiritual authority. So when you're born into the world, you're born, the Bible tells us, into a realm of spiritual darkness. Into a realm where demonic spirits influence the way people think, the decisions they make, the culture, the ideologies they embrace. They are demonically empowered. When Christ delivers us and we give our hearts to Christ, we are redeemed and put in another kingdom. And one of the things that Christ wants us to be restored in is personal spiritual authority. He wants all believers to have a measure of spiritual authority in their life. So you were created for that. The Bible tells us in Psalm 8:6, it said, you were created for dominion. Not dominion over people. Not dominion over people. Dominion over creation, over the order that's around you. You're created to bring the life of God into it, to bring creativity of God, to bring the attributes of God into whatever you're called into. And so when Adam sinned, he surrendered his authority. He betrayed it and gave it up. And so we see, and I won't go into all of the details, that Christ at the cross has done a number of things. The first thing he did at the cross, or one of the first things he did, it says he has disarmed principalities and powers. So when Jesus died on the cross, he took back the authority Satan had gained from Adam by his surrender. When you surrender, you lose everything you own. But just not, you don't lose it. Everyone coming after you loses it too. That's one of the things. So in a family, if the leadership or the headship of the family sin, it opens the door for affliction right through the family. That's how things work. Yeah, and people don't like that. But anyway, so many of you will be struggling with problems that didn't start with you. They started in your family line. And God has chosen you to bring an end to it and build something different. How about that? How about that? So it tells us Jesus totally disarmed the principality. In other words, he legally won the right to rule in the earth. He legally is king over all the earth because he won it. He not only got his authority to rule because he created the earth, he got it back from the devil when Adam gave it up, and he's got it back on our behalf so we can be reinstated and receive authority. So you notice there, when we came to Christ, Jesus delivered us out of a kingdom and put us in another kingdom. Colossians 1, 13 and 14, it tells us he has rescued or delivered us out of the power of darkness. So he describes the kingdom of Satan as being dark, concealed, everything hidden, and it is power, a governmental authority. It influences people. People are under those influences. They don't even realize it. You try and explain it to them, they react and get angry, try and intimidate you. And it says he has placed us into the kingdom of his son, the son of his love. In other words, we're placed in the kingdom which is characterized by God as our father. We enjoy sonship. We enjoy the privileges of having our father, having the source of all blessing, and it's characterized by love. So we need to learn how to live as part of a kingdom, and that means alignment. So Jesus then said, he gives to all his believers or his followers, he gives you spiritual authority because of your connection, attachment, relationship with him. And he says in Luke 10, verse 19, he said, I give you authority, not over people, over serpents, scorpions, and every manifestation of the power or ruling authority of Satan, I give you authority over it to tread it underfoot or to humiliate the devil wherever you are. So every believer is empowered by their relationship with Christ to force demons to back down and depart and to release blessing and life into their relationships and their circumstances. You just need to know what God has given you and how to hold your ground, because the devil's going to bully you and try and take it away from you. You'll learn how to stand up. So God has given us the right to be able to stand as his representatives. Sons, the word literally means one who builds the Father's house and represents him. So wherever you go, you are a son, a daughter of the living God. You are called to build the Father's house, to expand his kingdom, whether it's in finances or education or arts or legal system or whatever. We're called to be the representative of God and advance his interests, not just do our own thing. And so God gives you authority for a number of purposes. I'll just list them. I want to talk more about the how-tos. And the purpose that authority is given to us is firstly to cultivate an environment where things thrive. Right. Secondly, to defend, to be a watchman over it and stand up and deal with any enemy that comes into your personal life, into your relationships, or comes in to damage your family. You've got to learn to stand up and push back. That's what it looks like. We're called or given authority for the purpose of serving. Now, you're going to learn in the next few weeks about the gifts of the Spirit. They are gifts. They are the empowerment of Jesus to advance his kingdom. Yes. They're gifts of power, gifts of speech, gifts that encourage, gifts that build, gifts that bless people. So when we operate in those, we are bringing the kingdom life and reality into people's lives. So we are the purpose of authority then are those things, to edify, to represent the Lord. So what are you authorized to do? Well, you're authorized to bring the presence of God wherever you go. Right. Have you ever thought about that? You're called to speak and release blessing and bring the presence of God. If there's any demons around, either outside or around your life or messing up, you're authorized to subdue them and drive them out. Right. If there's curses operating, you're authorized to break the curses and release blessings. Right. You understand? If there's bondages that are generational, you're authorized to break them. Right. And all believers are authorized to do it. The problem is the church is contained spiritual authority and deliverance, all these things, and taking it out and put it in the hand of just a few people. But Fivefold Ministry called to equip you so you learn how to stand up in authority in the Spirit and see God do stuff. I learned to do it when I was a very young Christian. I learned how to stand in the Spirit in the classroom and change the atmosphere and subdue demons on kids that were disrupting their education and learning. The Holy Spirit taught me to do that, and it changed the atmosphere and changed the outcomes for them. And it was so powerful that people coming by, if they were demonized, would manifest. You understand? You were called to bless and bring God's presence. But there needs to be faith behind it to do that. So we're called to build up the world around us by being a channel for the Word of God to be spoken in faith to change things. Think about that. Think about that. Think about that. So how can I operate in spiritual authority? How can I operate? Well, there's a few things. The first thing is there needs to be alignment. Authority comes from someone. If you're not aligned with them, you don't have any authority and any power. It's one of the great keys is personal alignment. All our authority comes out of being in agreement with God about what he wants done. So you need to be, that's a personal heart alignment. I'll show you exactly what that'll look like in a moment. We also need, our authority comes out of the Word of God. We're not just saying our words, we're taking God's Word by which he created things and did miracles, and we're launching it from a heart filled with faith. So it's actually quite, it's not hard, but it's got some things in it. If you want to exercise authority, authority is always exercised by verbal command. So a lot of Christians pray weak prayers. Right. And they haven't learned how to, yes, we pray, but we pray from a position of connection with Christ and from a position of victory already. Right. And when we come out of that place of prayer, we can speak and command things to be subdued, things to start to happen in alignment with the Word of God. Yeah. That's how it works. That's how it goes. So one of the things that you need to learn to do is to recognize and prevail over any demonic attacks on yourself, personal attacks on yourself or your marriage or whatever. In 1 Peter 5, verse 8, it says, Be sober, in other words, be clear-headed. Keep your thinking clear. And the way you keep it clear is by being in the Word of God. And it says be vigilant. Now, you're not looking around looking for demons everywhere. To be vigilant means you have developed awareness. Personal awareness that comes out of listening to God's voice and being aware of His presence. It says be sober, be clear, and also be vigilant, be alert. Because of why? Because your adversary. You have an adversary. That word adversary is the word a prosecutor in a law court, one who brings accusations, charges against you in order to defeat you. It says you have an adversary who walks about, literally it means to circle around you day by day, observing you, planning how he might destroy you. Now, most people, they don't live with awareness that we are capable of living in a physical realm, which we're doing, but we also, the spirit realm engages and it interlocks with the physical realm. And so we live, because we're a spirit being, in two realms. Your body enables you to sense the physical realm and you make sense of it because of your experience and your thinking. Your spirit enables you to sense the spirit realm. And we are, because of who we are able to pick up sensations, thoughts, voices, things from the spirit realm. And this is the problem. Most people think it's just my thoughts. You have the capacity to hear God. We need to train ourselves to hear His voice. And you'll do that in the series on gifts of the Spirit, because that's how you operate in the gifts of the Spirit. But we need to recognize things that come from our own heart desires and passions. And we also need to recognize voices that speak to us and invade our thoughts that are demonic in nature. The thoughts of God are always life-giving. Demonic thoughts are not. And people just don't recognize the source. Now, if someone talks to you, then you hear the words. Say they're on a phone, you can hear the words, but you know there's someone at the other end of the line talking to you. But people don't kind of connect when thoughts that are negative, fear-filled, rejection-filled, lust-filled, whatever-filled, and they're all contrary to God's word filling your mind, someone is putting them there. Not, this is not vague. This is someone is there in the spirit realm, just out of your physical sight, flooding your mind, and they've learned to watch what you do when they flood your mind. Whether you fight back and then they learn to give up and try something else, or whether you roll over and begin to then speak those very words. And if you speak those very words, you are in agreement with a demon. It now has power to gain greater access to your life. That's why the Bible says you have to be renewed in your mind so you recognize those thoughts. You need to take those thoughts captive, otherwise they will influence your life and your direction. See, so you've got to learn how to recognize them, and then when you can, hey, that's not from me. I remember I was in prayer years, well, early Christian, and all these flood of unclean thoughts were coming into my head. I thought, oh man, this is the worst. Then I felt bad, and I'm trying to pray, and I go, I'm a mess. And the Lord just spoke to me, and He said, the thoughts did not originate from you. This comes from an unclean spirit, and you need to fight it and exercise the authority I've given you over it and subdue it, so it no longer badges you and bullies you. Demons are bullies. They're spiritual bullies. They abuse you and torment you, and they will not let go if you give them any ground. That's why Jesus used language like, I give you authority to tread them underfoot. In other words, that's quite aggressive, totally humiliating the devil by fighting back. So how do you recognize? Well, basically, the thoughts are what you'd call intrusive thoughts. They are thoughts of guilt, of condemnation. They're thoughts of shame, fear, anxiety, unclean thoughts, defiling thoughts. Thoughts like, I'm not good enough. I'll never be able to do that. And sometimes we've listened to those thoughts so much, sometimes they're attached to painful experiences, and then they've built a stronghold. Stronghold means it's fortified and it's become a habit. And you can't cast out a habit. You have to change the habit. Yes. Yeah. But what empowers the habit is demonic spirits. Right. It will help if you can get rid of them. Right. But to do that, you have to assert authority. So basically, they invade you with intruding thoughts, intruding emotions, negative emotions. They draw you to ungodly comforts. They pressure you with irritations in your life. They discourage you and remove hope so you feel passive and just no energy. See, everywhere I go in the church, I see the influence of demonic powers over people, and they're just passive and shut down and... There's nothing there, and they've learned to accept it as the norm. That's not walking in dominion. That's actually walking in defeat, and no one is attracted to that. Kingdom of heaven is righteousness, great life, straight life, walking with God, peace, and not all stressed out and uptight and getting cranky every moment, and joy the Holy Ghost gives. It's something spiritual that comes out of your relationship, your connection, and your agreement to walk with God. And that's something that's called following Christ. That's called becoming a kingdom son or daughter. That's called overcoming. It's called developing a warrior spirit, see? So we need to do that. And it says in 1 Peter, I've shared what it says in 1 Peter 5:8. In 1 Peter 5:9, it says, resist, fight back. Stand your ground, hold your ground, resist, and hold on steady in faith that you have the victory. So the Bible tells you you got to get some resistance in you. You can't just be pushed over and be a walkover. You can't just roll over when a bit of difficulty comes. That's not kingdom warriors. Kingdom warriors don't roll. Oh, I feel like, I see it like this. This is how it works out. I can't come to church today. Pastor got a bit of a cold. What? I had a heart operation, and as soon as I was out, I came to church the next 2 days later. I'm committed. I never have to stop and think, should I come? No, I should come. Maybe not. I don't know. A bit wet weather today. A bit cold. I watch it online. Can you understand? That is rolling over. That's what it looks like. It's got no strength inside it. Get the idea? So how do we actively resist? Well, here's the scripture. It says, James 4:7, submit to God. Fight back. Resist the devil. So the key is your alignment. Now, you have to understand this. You're not trying to get the victory over the devil. That would be works. You actually, Christ has done the work at the cross. If I believe he's done it, I need to get in agreement and union with him and alignment with him, out of which his victory is my victory, and I can articulate it, speak it, and demons have to obey. That's how it works. You don't want to get into struggling to overcome. You actually align with him. So notice there, submit to God means literally you need to purify your heart from the baggage by repentance. If you got stuff that's wrong, get it right. Get rid of it. The demons, Jesus said, the devil come, got nothing in me that responds. But we've got lots of stuff that responds. So that's what purity of heart looks like. The things that respond to temptation, to sin, to demonic activity, those things we bring to the cross and we exchange them for the characteristics of Christ. Purify your heart, and we come into agreement with what God says. God says, I am with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. So why are you listening to loneliness? Loneliness is a demon. Why are you entertaining it? Here's why. Because you got used to doing it for so long that that's your norm. And the other feels weird because you're not used to it, and there's a struggle not to get God to be with you. There's a struggle for your heart to believe he is with me. So for my heart to believe, I must resist those lies and renew my mind and heart with the word of God and stand verbally against the invasion of those thoughts. You all gone quiet on that one. Yeah. But that's how it works. So you come into agreement with God, then you resist. So now you're not resisting, you're not fighting against some demon up there. It's a devil. listen, you've got to think like this. I'm in a physical world, and I'm also in the spirit realm.
Right.
And from my position in my heart of faith, in alignment with Christ, I speak in Jesus' name into the spirit realm around me. So most people, they feel awkward because they're talking to something they can't see and it feels weird. And the devil will just fill your mind. That's weird. Don't let anyone see you doing that. They'll think you're nutting off. But think how demons come out. Someone sees past the person and their problems to something in the spirit world, energizing it, and speaks to it and makes it back down. But you see, every believer is called into a fight. You've all got to learn how to do two things in that fight. One is how to resist when there's demonic invasion through declaring the word of God and the victory of Christ over, just resisting it. And we need to learn how to pray and decree, as Pastor John was talking before, the word of God over our life. This is who I am. This is my life. I am walking in blessing. I'm blessed with every blessing in heavenly places. I declare blessing over my marriage. I declare blessing is upon. Now, you're not waiting for it to happen. You position yourself in faith and agreement that it has happened, and you hold that, and out of that holding it, you do what you... If that was true, how would you behave? See? And this is the thing. See, so, for example, in meditating scripture, the Bible shares that Jesus said, this is what the Father's like. He said, you guys are all unhappy with me because I eat with people and honor them and value them. He said, my Father's even better than that. He'll go and hug the people that have been mixing with the pigs. And so he told the story of the prodigal son. And says, the prodigal son said, I'll rise and turn to my father. And the father saw him a long way off and was moved not by judgment and criticism or hurt from how he'd been treated or shame or what people would think. He was moved by his nature, compassion. You can't stop God being compassionate because you messed up. You can't get God angry because you messed up. He's moved by his nature, his character, compassion, gracious, long-suffering, abounding in goodness and faithfulness, forgiving iniquity, sins. Someone, this is who he is. So he'd moved with compassion, and he ran, and he hugged him and kissed him and wept with joy. Now, Jesus said, that's what Father's like. But when you read it, it's only a verse until your heart believes that's true for me. And to get that truth in your heart, you've got to meditate and imagine that word and hold that word. Accept this is the truth of God. My Father loves me and welcomes me, no matter what I've done. And you see, the dilemma is if you mess up and do something, the devil will condemn you and say, you can't come into the presence of God like that. Look at you. Look what you've been saying and doing. Right. No, it's not going to work. Right. You're just so bad. God could never help. You see, he's driving you into works rather than, as we stand, I believe Christ has died for me. I believe my sins are forgiven. By repentance and faith, I will align and agree with the truth, and I can be in his presence immediately. And so I meditate until that becomes reality. Hey, how about that? So we've got lots, but I need to stop just there. In Ephesians 6, it says, therefore take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, stand. Stand, therefore. Four times it says, you've got to learn to stand. Hold your ground, just like Shammah did. He stood. God is with me. Everyone else ran away. They're intimidated. But he stood his ground. God is with me. Just like he was with David, God is with me. And just like David tackled giants, I tackle giants too. This is who I am. See? And he held his ground and fought back. And that gave God room legally to move and bring about a victory. So often we're in prayer lines and wanting this person to pray and that person to pray and someone else to counsel. Why not take ownership of your need to get connected and align and push back in prayer and start to make a stand in areas of your life. Can we say amen?
Amen.
Why don't you just close your eyes right now?